So a rich, beautiful gospel today, and I want to kind of go through and look at a few of the words in it. The scribes and the Pharisees, these are two categories of religious leaders, people that were respected in the Jewish community. The scribes and the Pharisees are, the scribes are the experts in the sacred scripture and those who copy the sacred scripture over and over again. And the Pharisees would have had a tremendous amount of influence on the culture of the day. And these scribes and Pharisees find themselves in conflict with Jesus regularly. And I have to say that the older I get, maybe a little more sympathy I have for the scribes and Pharisees, because Jesus was like, how old was Jesus when he started off? He's like 30, you know, you're like, who is this kid, you know? But the scribes and Pharisees are going to be kind of in conflict with Jesus over and over. But what does Jesus say about them? He says, do and observe whatever they tell you. Jesus is not an anarchist. He recognizes that there has to be order and hierarchy. And they, he goes on to say, they have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Now, who is Moses? Moses is the author of the law, the first five books of the Bible. He led them out of slavery across the desert. He's described as carrying them on his back. He lived 120 years. Over and over again, he instructed and healed and clarified and worked hard for God's people. And he was like the hero of the nation of Israel. And so the scribes and Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. But again, Jesus has some uncomfortable things to say about them. He says, they widen their phylacteries. Anybody know what a phylactery is? If you go to Israel even today, and you go to the Wailing Wall, to the Western Wall, you'll see people wearing phylacteries. Phylactery is a little leather box. And inside of that little leather box, they put a passage of sacred scripture. And they wear it on their head, or they wear it on their arm. Because there's a passage in the Bible that says, write this on your arm. Write this on your forehead. And so they do that. And they still do it to this day. But back in those days, Jesus is critical because they would wear these big, ostentatious phylacteries to make themselves look pious, to be seen. And they would lengthen their tassels, which were kind of religious symbols of the day. They love places of honor, seats in the synagogues, etc. And then he goes through this little passage, and I warned you when I was at the very beginning of Mass, challenging to us Catholics sometimes. As for you, do not be called rabbi. What does the word rabbi mean? Anybody know? Teacher. Teacher. You got anybody here named called teacher? What about a doctor? You know what a doctor is? A doctor is a teacher. The word doctor comes from doctrine. And when you're the master of doctrine, you're a teacher, and they just call you a doctor. That's where it comes from. So don't be called rabbi. Don't be called teacher. You're all brothers. Call no one on earth your father. And so we get to that line of scripture. And there are people that leave the Catholic Church over this passage. They leave the church. And I'll give you a little example. There was a person that I know of, and they were checking out. They're a Catholic priest. They're checking out at a cash register. And apparently there was some issue, and so they had to write this little form. And he wrote his name, Father Joe Smith, And the cashier took it and said, "Don't you Catholics know the Bible says call no man father?" And she scratched it out and wrote Reverend, you know, or something like that. And, you know, and this guy, having kind of reflected on that moment, you know, context is incredibly important for us to understand the Bible. Context is incredibly important. So this woman said, "You Catholics essentially are unbiblical." And again, people leave the church over this. They stumble. And this is like a lever to kind of get in their craw and start dividing them from an understanding of their faith. So it is ignoring the complexity and the depth and the riches of the subject and clinging to a superficial understanding. Now, I spoke a few weeks ago about the Our Father. Remember that? Some of you remember, some of you don't. Some of you don't come here very often. But I preached about the Our Father. And I'm going to read the Our Father as it's printed in the Bible with a verse that follows it. "This is how you are to pray," Jesus says. These are the words of Jesus. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts or trespasses as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." End of the prayer, right? What's the next line? The next line is, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you." So Jesus is saying that it's biblical. Jesus says we must forgive in order to receive forgiveness. Yes or no? Okay. Now, I've had other people say to me, again, the very same person that would say, "You Catholics are unbiblical because you call men father, but I don't have to forgive anybody because I've already been saved." That's unbiblical. Now, does the Bible ever in any other place in the New Testament call men, biological men and spiritual leaders, father? 120 times in the New Testament. 120 times. I'm just going to give you a few. Jesus in his own teaching on many occasions calls men father. Give you a couple examples. He says, "What father among you would hand your son a snake when he asked for a fish?" Y'all don't know that passage. If you don't know it, I'm telling you now. Jesus also says, "Honor your father and your mother." St. Paul says, "I want you to know, brethren, that our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea." In another place, St. Paul said, "I advanced in Judaism beyond any of my own people, so zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers." St. Paul says in his letter to Timothy, "Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as you would a father." The clearest biblical confirmation that Jesus was not trying to banish this word from our language comes from St. Paul using the word father to describe himself. Now, St. Paul, as far as we know, was a celibate minister who had no natural children. Yet he refers to himself as father, saying, quoting 1 Corinthians chapter 4, "I'm writing you not to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. Even if you should have countless guides to Christ, you do not have many fathers. I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. In another place, three times, just in the passages of scripture that we have from Paul, he calls himself father. Timothy's work, you know, I'm quoting St. Paul, how as a son with a father, he served me. And you know how, like a father with children, we exhorted you. Last example, I appeal to you. This is from the letter to Philemon. I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become in my imprisonment. So that's just a handful of examples. It's like on every page of the New Testament, right? So, my brothers and sisters, we cannot ignore the complexity of Scripture and the depth and the riches and the beauty of the subject and cling to a superficial reading of one passage taken out of context. But oftentimes that happens. We need to know the Bible. We need to know the riches of the Bible and the depth of the Bible and the complexity of the Bible and the beauty of the Bible. So why do we call priest father anyway? The same reason Paul called himself father when talking about Onesimus. He said, I have become his father. What do fathers do? They bring new life. What does the gospel do? It brings new life. When we baptize somebody, what happens? Are they being reborn? They are being reborn into a new life. When the gospel is proclaimed to somebody, it brings new life. What about providing food? Do we provide food? What about the Holy Eucharist? See, another fatherly role. Traditionally, a father gives counsel, encouragement, provides, gives life. And so it is a term of relationship. It is the term of affection. But it can also be a term of power and authority and oppression and being seen and being somebody, right? And that is exactly what Jesus is warning us about. In any role, as a biological father or as a spiritual leader, yes, ultimately, God is our Father. And don't we sing this song? I know we've all sung it at some point in our life. We've all said, let there be peace on earth, right? And let it begin with me. With God as our Father, what? Brothers, all are we, you know? And so we do absolutely recognize that there is this uniqueness to the fatherhood of God. But we also recognize that we have responsibilities to one another. And you know what? If there's one shortage in the world today, it's not a shortage of oil or lithium. It's not a shortage of fresh water. What's the one shortage that we have today that's worse than any other shortage? Good fathers. Good fathers. Sacrificial fathers. Fathers that lay down their life for their children. We need to cultivate a rich fatherhood that recognizes that all fatherhood comes from God. This is, I'm quoting St. Paul again, all fatherhood is from God, and that we recognize God as the model of fatherhood. So, what about the Bible? We cannot have a facile understanding of the Bible. What does that mean? A simple, superficial, lack of sophistication that doesn't recognize the richness and beauty that the Bible contains poetry and history and allegory, different cultural settings, spoken to different people at different levels of maturity at different times. When Jesus said, call no one rabbi, call no one master, call no one father, he was not banishing these words. He wasn't saying, you sinners who have Father's Day, right? Who here celebrate Father's Day? You can't do that. You got to change that word. No, that's a ridiculous understanding of that passage of sacred scripture. What it's saying is that we must use our fatherhood to serve. So, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we give thanks to God for entrusting to us His holy word, and we pray that we have an understanding of the word, its richness, its complexity, its challenge, and its goodness. We are called to worship God and to serve one another, not be served. There are two sacraments of service in the church: holy orders and holy matrimony. There are no sacraments of being served. And that's what the scribes and the Pharisees were doing. They were using their religious position to be served. And so, Lord, spare me that temptation, right? And if you don't want to call me Father, you can call me Reverend, okay? But at the same time, it's not a word that our Lord banished from our vocabulary. It's a word He challenged us to recognize, that God is Father above all.